Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Three, two, one. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Steve Johnson, the great predictor, along with, what's his name?
Minnesota Tim
Peroshka. He's the one that makes those noises behind the scenes there. I'm not sure what that, Tim?
Special effect.
The noises.
It's all about getting the listener amped for the Saturday Strong. I want us to be different. I want us to stand out among the podcasts. We're the Saturday Strong, the great predictor, Steve Johnson, and Minnesota Tim Peroshka. We're a little awkward. We're a little weird. We tell it like it is. We cut straight through the bullshit, and we're just straight honest.
Okay, well, let's get to it then. What do you think of David Duval playing in this tournament? The Pebble Beach Pro-Am. No Pro-Am, just Pebble Beach.
Yep.
Just Spyglass Hill.
Yep.
Just
this
the players.
This is the week of David Duval. He always plays in this tournament. I looked at his finishes in the last five tournaments in this event, and last year he didn't miss the cut, which is pretty remarkable. Do you know what he did?
What did he do?
He WD'd.
Oh.
he didn't miss the cut last year, but he WD'd. But the years prior in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, and I think 2015 as well, he missed all of those cuts in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And this is the week of David Duval. This is your favorite player on the PGA Tour. He's basically like a club pro trying to play in a PGA Championship event, don't you think?
Well, he has a full-time job. He's an analyst now, so he has to do his research. He's out at the tournaments. He's seeing the guys playing. And that's one of the things that when you go to a lot of tournaments and you see how easy these guys make it look, Tim,
yep.
they make it look like, hey, I can do that. And I'm sure when David Duval goes out and plays at his home club, or whenever he's home, he plays with his buddies, that he plays well. But there's a big difference between playing club golf and playing tournament golf at the highest levels. And, you know, David Duval yesterday, he started on the back nine. No, we're recording.
Yeah,
recording.
There it is. Yeah. Your vocab's a little off this morning.
This session on Friday morning early. So they played one round. David Duval played at Pebble Beach, and he started out on the back nine, which is 10, 11, 12, all the way up through 14 are tough holes right on the water. And David Duval goes bogey, bogey, par, bogey is his start. He has one birdie on this front nine and five bogeys. He shoots 40. He's on his way to a snowman, which a snowman is an 80. Eight with two loops and then a zero.
So oh, okay. Three. Thanks for describing
three
that.
Zeros. 80
yeah.
is a snowman.
Okay.
And then he makes bogey on bogeys one hole on the front nine, shoots 77, and he's on his way again to he's not going to WD, I don't think.
Okay. Do you think he'll shoot 80 in the second round? Let's hear a great predictor. Let's hear a great prediction from the great predictor early.
Well, he played Pebble Beach the first round. The guys were tearing it up. What Patrick Cantlay shot 10 under
yeah.
at Pebble Beach. A couple guys shot 8 under. Jordan Spieth shot 5 under. He played the easier course yesterday. The conditions were very, very nice. I had a friend that played the week before, and now the weather can change. But my buddy said it was short-sleeve weather at Pebble Beach in February, if you can believe that or not. He said the conditions were absolutely perfect. They were perfect yesterday for scoring, and David Duval shoots 77. He shoots five over. He goes to Spyglass Hill on Friday. Much tougher course, dog legs, elevated greens. The greens are bigger, so, I mean, he's going to have more chance to putt. Putting is typically the strong suit of his game. His ball striking in recent years hasn't been too good. He's been all over the place. But did you know, Tim, yesterday at Pebble Beach, he was minus 6.3 strokes gained putting. He lost six shots to everyone in the field in his putting, his short stick.
Maybe you should try putting left-handed then.
I know we would say, I mean, first we would need to see if he was a yipper. I'm not sure that he is a yipper. There's a great story about David Duval. He came out to the golf ranch in McKinney, and he wanted some help from Hank. Hank was helping Tiger at the time, and he came out with his caddy. And I've told this story before, but here's a little twist in the story. His caddy was telling me that he's still putting with the putter that he shot 59 with. Okay. Now he noticed that there was a little kink in the shaft of the putter. So he sent it back to Titleist to get it reshafted, and it changed the whole feel of the putter. He's never putted the same since. And David Duval, historically, even as a junior golfer, I caddied for a player who played against him in the U.S. Junior in the semifinals. And David Duval used to be a damn good putter.
Why do you think he plays in this tournament, though? I mean, don't you think it's a little bit embarrassing for the guy?
You know, I think that there's nothing to gain for him other than the fact that he's a guy that loves competition. You can see his banter back and forth with Brandel Chambly from the range on, during the majors. What do they call that when they do the
live the, from?
Yeah, there you is? Go. There you go. Live from. When they do the live from, there's banter back and forth. There's arguing. There's personal feelings in there as well. David Duval usually comes with, well, you've never been there, Brandel. So how would you know? You know, so it kind of tries to shut him up.
Yeah.
But, David Duval, nothing to win, everything to lose. And I have absolutely no idea why he's playing in this tournament.
I love the return of David Duval. Double D coming back at Pebble Beach. It's a talking point yearly between the great predictor Steve Johnson and I, Minnesota Tim. We've got a loaded show. We got a lot to talk about. Coming up next,
Whoa. Okay, before we end, you had a matchup for Hank. Yeah, you had a matchup for Hank. And I just want to review that. Now, the matchup was David Duval against John Daly.
Yes,
it was. John, we know John Daly's had some health issues, and he's got some personal issues. And he has some clothing issues. And you gave him that match. So it was even up, that match?
Was that? What was that?
Well, was it even up? You just said, who do you think's going to win between these two guys? Yeah. And so what was Hank's insight on that?
Hank thought John Daly, and I was surprised by that because Hank was trying to analyze who would WD first, because David Duval and John Daly have a history. Your hair looks pretty good, Steve, by the way. Your hair looks nice. You know, it looks fresh. You know, nice little comb over looks good. anyway, yeah, Hank was trying to analyze who was going to WD, who would make it through the golf tournament. And Hank said that John Daly is a better player than David Duval. So he went with David. He went with John Daly.
Okay, he's not looking too good right now. John Daly shot 8 over, and David Duval is 5 over. John Daly's apt to give up too. I mean, he could walk off the course.
He shot a snowman, Steve, which means it's an 8 with a loop and then another loop on it.
Yeah, we already heard that. We already heard that one.
Yeah, oh, I was just letting you know.
Okay, okay, yeah, and he's not the high scorer in this tournament either. Both of those guys played Spyglass Hill, and David Duval played Pebble Beach. So we'll see. You know, it's like doing the Olympics, where one skater's on the outside ring and the other skater's on the inside ring, and you can't tell what's going on until they both get the 2 rounds in. So it's going to be close, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Great analogy there, Steve. Thanks. What's that look for? Why are you being a
Well, see, we're coming to. So Tim and I use the Squadcast, this platform, so we can see each other. And he's always giving me the finger, and
he's doing stuff like that.
So
you know it too. Quit lying to the audience.
So we've got to talk about my favorite player before we go to this break, though. We've only been into it a little over 8 minutes. So we got to talk about Hunter Mahan, who's had by far the best start since his restart of his career. The only reason he's playing this year, he uses his lifetime money exemption. So he's high enough in the lifetime earnings. I think he's $35 million, something like that, $32 million. And so he has a one-time shot that he has no status on the tour other than he's a past winner. He's a past Ryder Cupper. He's a past President's Cupper. So he was hoping for exemptions, but in order to get a full season in, what he's done is he's used this lifetime exemption. It's a one-time deal, and it's finally paying off, Tim. It's finally paying off. He's got, he's 5 under, played Pebble Beach yesterday. He goes to Spyglass Hill today. We'll see how he does. And it looks like this year, because there's no amateurs, they're probably going to play. They're only playing two courses instead of three. And it looks like they're going to go 36 holes in a cut and then go to Pebble Beach.
Hmm. Okay.
Pretty good, huh?
Quick question for you, Steve. Is that a cactus behind you, a Christmas tree, or like a palm tree? What's
it's palm tree.
You?
It's a palm tree.
Is it
it's
actually?
Palm tree. Yeah. Yeah. It's a palm tree.
Holy crap. That's crazy.
We got indoor plants here at the Johnson compound.
All right. Let's take our first break. We got a loaded show. Coming up next, we want to talk about Steve's most valuable player on the golf course. That's what we're going to talk about next. And later on, we're going to talk about Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth. And if we have time, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day gifts. That's coming up this Sunday. Speaking of Valentine's, Hank's got some great deals on VoodooPainterLeaf.com right now for Valentine's Day. Give a loved one a sample of Voodoo Painterleaf cream, which will help their aches, which will help their pains. And you might be getting a little lucky at night if you do that. So go to VoodooPainterLeaf.com right now for a great supply of Voodoo Painterleaf cream, and you might get lucky at night. We'll be right back on the Hank Caney Podcast.
Are you going to go, beard for the wedding?
No, I got to shave it.
Doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that hurt when you shave it?
It does, yeah, when it gets so long. That's why I haven't shaved for a while, because I'm just putting it on because it hurts so bad.
Oh, I know it. You got to get a clippers first. Clippers?
Yeah.
Clip it? And then?
Normally I trim. I go trim.
Trim.
Yeah, normally I trim.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Saturday Strong Podcast. Steve Johnson, Minnesota Tim Perochka here. Pebble Beach this week. And we talked about this before, Tim. If we had to play one round of golf before we called it quits, before the end of our lives, where would you play? And I said, without hesitation, I said Pebble Beach. Hmm. It's the best. It is the best.
Yeah, Hank said it was a big bucket list item.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's one of the courses that, I mean, it's cost a lot of money to play it, probably $650. You got to stay at one of the lodge hotels. You got to get tee times way in advance, but anyone can play it. Mm-hmm. Anyone with $650 can play
it. Yeah, I told Hank that I would be down there in a heartbeat playing at Pebble Beach as long as he was paying for it.
Well, who wouldn't?
Right?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the most valuable player on the golf course, in your opinion, okay, the caddy. And there was a lot of news about the caddy this week. There was a lot of people upset about it. There were some people, I don't know who, but there were some people supporting it. But I saw more people disappointed in the decision to bring range finders to the PGA of America Championship. So we got the PGA Championship. There, it looked like there was three PGA of America Championships. And they are allowing this year for caddies to use range finders on the golf course. Now, this is something that the PGA Tour has been talking about for a long time. It's an idea. It's a solution people throw out all the time to improve pace of play. And now we're hearing different reports that, hey, you know, this isn't going to speed up pace of play. This is just going to slow it down, because now you got the yardages. Now you got your range finder. Now you're going to use both of them. Now you want to make sure they're the exact same. So some people are throwing a little hissy fit. But Steve, your opinion, your thoughts on rangefinders being allowed at PGA of America events?
Well, you know, Tim, rangefinders have been used for many years in junior golf, at college golf. They've been used, I'm not sure about in Europe, if they've been used. They use them for practice rounds. All of the players in the caddies have rangefinders during their practice rounds. They're not just pacing them off, you know, stepping off the yardages and using strings and stuff like that. I mean, they're using technology. I don't know why they didn't use them before, to be honest, other than the fact that, hey, it's part of the tradition. If they're going to allow greens reading books, they're going to allow you to purchase a yardage book at the golf course to use in the tournament. You see them in the back pockets of all these players, these big books that give you a lot of detail about sprinkler heads and carries and slopes and things like that. If they're going to use those, why wouldn't they use the rangefinder. And PGA of America, they get it both ways too, because they're probably selling a sponsorship to a big rangefinder company. I mean, a Bausch & Lomb, you know, whoever it is probably paying big dollars to be a sponsor of the PGA of America. And that's a nice little gift to them to say, hey, you know, we're going to allow rangefinders. It's just like the deal with the shorts. You know, hey, no one wears shorts. Well, why doesn't anyone wear shorts for practice rounds and tournaments and all that? It's so dang hot out there. The caddies wear shorts. Why can't the players?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long-standing tradition.
Yeah. You know, get that crap out of here.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
Oh, I was just going to read this tweet from John Wood here. So John Wood is Matt Kuchar's former caddy. And he's got his, you know, little deal on the Golf Channel where he's walking with the player. He's doing the little Jim Bones McKay thing. And he had some thoughts about it on social media on his Twitter account at John Wood. But he spells Wood different. John, W-O-U-L-D, John Wood. In my opinion, this will slow play down at the highest level. The total yardage to a flag is sometimes the last thing we need. We want covers of swales, bunkers, H20. I don't know what that means. Where we want the ball to land. Players and caddies will do so.
H2O is what
H2O,
it is.
H2O. That's,
oh, God H2O. Dang, man.
Sure.
What H20. The heck? What?
It's an H20.
No, it's an H20. Hey, yeah, H20. It's H2O, but it's H2O.
Well, there you go. You're,
golly.
Yeah, the great predictor. Back
this is a great reader. You know, yeah.
It's a pronunciator. There we
did
go.
Did you not take chemistry or anything?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. It's early. Where we
got H20.
H20. We got H20. Where we want the ball to land. Players and caddies will so do all their calculations, then double check yardage at the end. If the yardage between the book number, which we have worked off forever, are different from the laser, play will come to a screeching halt while player and caddy try to figure out why there is a discrepancy. Plus, there is skill defining a correct yardage from strange angles, which should be rewarded. Not a fan of this decision for PGA Tour level play. And I completely disagree with John Wood here. Obviously, he's got more experience of being on the PGA Tour. But if there was a device that told you how far away you were from the hole versus your caddy trying to calculate how far away you were from the hole, wouldn't you think that you would believe the GPS device? Wouldn't you believe a GPS on your cell phone over MapQuest from Google that was used 25 years ago?
Yeah,
don't you think you would kind of move along with the times and kind of wake up and follow along and get in with the trends? And this is a great decision by the PGA of America. I love that they are standing out, making a difference, changing tradition, changing the values of the game that are integrated since 1877. It's just, I love this decision.
Yeah, and you know, we see it in other sports too, Tim. We saw it in baseball. The umpires fought tooth and nail that they had 99% of all the calls correct, and when they did a little check with this technology that they have that does actually predict, or not predict, but it evaluates strikes and balls in a certain zone that is always right on, that the umpires were not very good. We've also done the same thing this year in the Australian Open. Have you been watching the Australian Open tennis, Tim?
I have not.
Okay, so they have a referee that's sitting up in the chair. You see the referee up there in the high chair.
I've seen the referee, yeah.
Okay, they have no lines people for this term. Typically, they have linesmen and lineswomen that are making the calls in and out, but now it's all technology. There's no debating the call. The call is correct. You move on. It's actually faster. And I think typically in the past, the rangefinders have been, and I've had difficulty with this. I know our listeners out there, if you've been using a rangefinder at all over the last few years, you hold it up, you've got one eye, you're looking like you're trying to you're looking up there, and you don't know if you're measuring to the flag stick, you're measuring to that stick, that bush behind the flag.
Yeah, I've had issues with that too.
Yeah, but I mean, the technology is getting a lot better now. A lot of the flag sticks have reflectors on them, so you can get very accurate yardages. I think it's a good call. I think it's I think it's actually a way we're going to speed up play. Nice. There's no debate. Hey, it's good. It's accurate. It's another thing for them to put in their pockets. So,
yeah
I think it's good.
Don't you think this takes away value from the caddy? Do you think this separates the Jim Bones McKays of the world, the Stevie Williams of the world versus, let's just say, a bottom tier caddy on the PGA Tour level?
Well, you know, in that respect, maybe, but, you know, somebody's got to go get those yardages. And typically it's the player's responsibility. The caddy is just the check. It's the player's responsibility to say, hey, you know, I've done my research. I've done my yardages. This is where I want to be. I know what this yardage is. Give me some confirmation and the caddy can confirm it. Players that depend on the caddy to give, caddies are going to make mistakes just like everybody makes mistakes. So, one thing, the only mistake you can make with a rangefinder is letting the batteries go dead. And that's going to happen. I'm sure that's going to happen out on the golf course. Hey, you know, hey, what's the yardage there, John? Gosh, Matt, the battery went dead. I don't know.
Well, that's why you got their yardage book too. They'll have both out there. All right. Good stuff. All right. Let's take a break. We'll talk about Koepka and Spieth next and maybe some Valentines. I got some. Yeah, well, maybe we'll open up with Valentines. Maybe they'll be our Big Dick McGee of the week, our Valentine's Day gifts for our loved ones. All right. Go to HaneyUniversity.com right now for free daily golf tips. You can also send in your golf swings to golfschools@HankHaney.com where you can receive a free game plan and analysis. But you can also sign up for Hank's free newsletter at HaneyUniversity.com, which also has great practice aids for you, like an impact snap, indoor gear to hit balls into, putting things so you can improve your putting. I guess Dustin Johnson uses the same one. So go to Haney University for all that good stuff. We'll be right back.
Okay. We're going to count into every segment.
This time.
We're counting.
Right.
Three, two, one. Segment number three. Yes.
Yeah.
And Tim, you know what? You mentioned in the little ad there, the little read that you did about the Haney University. The pros at, well, actually, I've been working with Swing U, who's affiliated with Hank. I've been working with Hank's team at Haney University. And here they're coming up with a platform for the people that subscribe to Haney University where they can send videos, unlimited videos. Mm-hmm. They can save a video in their own locker. We send them videos, coach videos. It's a great interactive. I mean, we started this about 20 years ago. It was very painful to send a video. Now it's so easy. Within two clicks, a Haney University subscriber can send videos at will, and we'll help them. See, nice. Out on the golf course, practicing, hitting like you're doing today. You're going to be in the garage hitting into a net because it's like minus 17 degrees up in Minnesota.
It is negative 17.
You know, here we have the covers are on the greens too. And we've got a tremendous cold spell going right down the middle of the United States. And it's amazing that the weather is as good over there in Northern California, Pebble Beach area, because it looked great yesterday. I can't wait till today.
Yeah. Yeah, I look pretty good with the beard, don't I? Do I look okay with the beard? I was just looking at myself in the squad cast, and I think I look pretty good.
Well, are you going to go with the beard? Well, you've got a nice goatee going. You've got a lot of hair.
It's wash.
A lot of hair right under your chin.
This is like USGA rough right here.
Yeah, and it's US Open rough. And then you've got a little goatee going down, a little mustache with the handles going down to the goatee.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good. And then on the side, you got waist area there. You got no game there. You got zero game.
Yeah, I got some waist area.
Yeah, it's not good. I would not recommend that for pictures in the wedding.
No, I'm going to shave. No. Yeah, it'll take a little bit of time, but I'm going to shave. All right, so Valentine's Day. I got something nice for my woman. Do you do Valentine's Day? Are you a Valentine's guy? I mean, you guys have been married for a long time. It's got the excitement has to wear off a little bit, don't you think?
It doesn't wear. Here's the thing that some people like getting their own stuff. And like when they get a gift, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the gift. And then it gets returned.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't exactly the right size, nor was it. The safety play
gift card.
And this is no. Safety
yeah,
play.
That's a safety play.
Well, that's a last minute
resort
desperation play is what that is. That's like Patrick Mahomes falling down and trying to throw a touchdown and hitting the guy.
You were
right
by the way, on that prediction.
You doubt me. But the safety play is a gift card. That's not a lot of imagination. Here's the play that I think that has worked, and my wife has appreciated. You can't take it back. You just got to enjoy it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Lingerie.
No. Okay. I'm talking about flowers.
Oh, no. Not that's too obvious.
Not necessarily, but I'm telling you what, flowers are a winner. It's not necessarily roses. My wife likes wildflowers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll go to Whole Foods. I'll go to a natural place that has some nice flowers. I'll do an arrangement. I'll bring them home and boom, it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the winner. Gift card. That's desperation.
Yeah, I've got a couple ideas. So I already bought one. I bought some earrings, some nice earrings, going with the nice earrings. This is our first Valentine's Day together. You know, we're getting married in like 113 days. We're so excited.
We're counting it down, counting it down.
Counting it down until, it's going to be great. So I'm going with the earrings. And then this is where I like to get creative. This is where I like to have some fun, because Valentine's Day, you want it to be great. Earrings are good, but you also want it to be memorable, funny, inside joke. So I'm going to write a little note saying one free all body massage anytime, non-refundable. So that way she gets enjoyment out of it. I get enjoyment out of it. We're laughing. We're joking.
You know, it would be funny. So you give her that gift card and she says, "Ooh, that's very nice. I think I'm going to give it to Grammy. I think I'm going to give it to my grandma."
Yeah, you got to be kidding me. What's wrong with you?
You're there massaging your grandma, your mother-in-law.
Spoons.
Yeah. Here are these hot rocks, Grammy.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
We're going to put these hot rocks on your back.
What's wrong with you?
And then I'm gonna walk on your back.
Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. Let's get back to Valentine's.
That's enough for Valentine's.
Yeah, Kepka won last week. You don't like Kepka, but yet you still picked him on your PGA Tour draft team. I'm still trying to figure that one out. And you made a big comeback last week because Hank was at 9.5. I was at 7.5, and you were at like 1.5, but then you got a big 5.5 for winning. You got a big 5 points for winning. And I think the score is, I think I said it wrong before. I think it's 8.5, Hank, 7.5, you, and then 7.5, me. So we're all within striking distance of coming out on top.
But we're coming up to the big tournaments, too. We've got LA coming up, then we've got the Players. We've got Augusta in 60 days. The reason I picked Koepka is because I'm a great coach and I picked the best team. It wasn't about personalities. I mean, I can work with a guy. I don't mind in our team meetings, the team meetings that we have. Hey, he's a good listener.
Funny.
And, he wants to win, and he saw that we were way back, and he didn't feel too good after what he went, missed the cut. What event did he miss?
American Express.
Ooh, that was tough.
He missed the last three cuts, actually. He missed the American Express. The tournament before that too, I think he missed the cut at. He missed three cuts in a row.
Yeah. My man Scottie Scheffler too. He was my third or fourth pick. He was up there too in that last tournament.
Yeah.
I should have gotten some points off him too.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you got some points off Scottie Scheffler. So yeah, you're looking good. Koepka, do you think he's back?
You know what? I think he's as back as he's ever gonna get. I mean, he's gonna be a streaky player. I don't think he's going to play. Yeah, I still don't know if he's over the physical issues. He looks like a guy. He doesn't look as strung as tight as like a Jason Day, who always looks like he's going to be injured by bending over and tying his shoe. He's just so tight. Brooks Koepka has been working on it. His body's changed a little bit. He's got a little bit softer too. He's gained a little bit of weight. They showed some pictures this last week when he did win at Phoenix, when the Waste Management. They showed him winning his first tournament. Man, he looked good. He was lean. He was mean. He was more like a Tim Perachka lean, rather than all puffed up Bryson DeChambeau. And I think if for longevity's sake, the guy's already got, even when he was skinny, he had a lot of distance, like Justin Thomas. By the way, how's his brand doing right now? Not too good.
Not too good.
I was wondering if he was going to still wear polo, but I'm not sure what he's wearing right now.
I think he's going blank polo right now. But it seems like Koepka's a ticking time bomb. You know, he opened up in a golf.com article talking about how he had some really down moments trying to recover from this knee injury, recover from these stem cell stuff and all these things. And he looks great now, but I mean, let's not forget, he just missed three straight cuts. He looked great in Phoenix. The shots that he hit down the stretch at those par fives and the chip in he had at 17, it was just absolutely remarkable. It's what major championship players do. It's what players do at the end when they take their game to new levels. So Koepka's still got the ability to take his game to a new level, but you wonder about the consistency that he can do it at, because, I mean, the injury, he's had so many injuries and they're not going away. You know, I mean, they can go off in the distance a little bit, but eventually they start making their way back.
Yeah. And, you know, his putting hasn't been very good either. So you put together physical issues, orthopedic issues with game, critical parts of his game, not in very good shape. And yeah, I think he's going to be streaky this year. It just really depends on his motivation. Does he want to really be one of the top players, or does he just want to be a flash in the pan?
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
His putting has been better this year. I mean, his putting has been better. He's 16th in strokes gained putting so far this year compared to 144th last year. I mean, we're not through a full season, so we'll see where that statistic goes. But it is a whole lot better through seven events in 2021.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because, I mean, that one of the things about his game before was, man, his putting, especially inside of 15 feet, was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
He made a lot of putts. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of saving putts.
Especially in majors.
Yeah.
Especially in majors. You could always ramp that game up. Okay. So quick takes on Jordan Spieth. He finished last week in the top 10. He's tied for seventh after the first round in Pebble Beach. He shot 7 under par in the first round, 3 shots behind Patrick Cantlay. I'll give you a minute on Jordan Spieth because it's becoming podcast tradition. I've got to poop. I'll start my stopwatch.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to stall. I'm stalling.
Smith, Four Corners.
Oh
offense.
My gosh.
I got the stopwatch going.
Okay. All right. Well,
you got 5 seconds.
We're going to have to reschedule the Saturday Strong podcast, because I don't want to be limited by your personal needs.
My bowel movements.
Yeah. So Jordan Spieth, 7 under. I heard an interesting story about Jordan Spieth and his coach Cameron McCormick. When Jordan said he was going to go see Butch Harmon, I heard Cameron got chapped. And we talked about this before. It hurts when it's over or when it's changing and you don't have quite the voice that you used to have, influence. It hurts. And it hurt Cameron McCormick. It doesn't surprise you. It would hurt me too. But Butch said, Butch is a get along guy. He says, hey, well, come on over. You can come too. You can, we'll collaborate. And
but Cameron won't get the credit.
Well, that's true. But I mean, it's not about Cameron. It shouldn't be about Cameron. It should be about your player. It should
be about
the guy.
But Cameron's all about Cameron, though. Cameron wants the credit. He's stuck with them for this long.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that because, I mean, I've known Cameron just a little bit. He teaches here in Dallas. He's always been very nice. He's just like any teacher. He wants to have success. He's had a lot of success. Got a little greedy on this success. He's teaching all these players in different tours and junior players. And I mean, you got to decide what you want to be. Are you going to be a tour teacher? Are you going to be a developer of players coming on to, getting college scholarships, playing junior golf? Are you going to be an LPGA teacher? You can't be everything. And it kind of got over his skis a little bit too much. And when the wheels started falling off the Jordan Spieth game, he couldn't get him back on. And, Cameron McCormick said, no, I'm not going to go to Vegas. I'm not going to watch. Good luck. And you know what? Jordan Spieth's swing does look better. The club is not as far across the line at the top. Now on Sunday, typically it's a Saturday debacle that all these bad shots show up. But Sunday he hits two balls in the water on 18 or on the back nine, and it costs him.
Yeah.
It costs him.
John McGinnis on his Sirius XM show, Katrick and McGinnis on tap, he said he thinks Jordan Spieth is 75 to 90% there after today's round at the AT&T Pro-Am. He said, if he gets another chance to win another golf tournament, I think he does it. So John McGinnis is high on Jordan Spieth's form right now. Where are you on Jordan Spieth? Are you high on him? Is there still some doubt just because it's still so early and he's only played one good event and one round so far in the second event? Where are you at with Spieth?
Well, I mean, they're playing favorable conditions right now. The green speeds are not ridiculously fast. He's a great putter. It's not a formula that you can win the really tough, like Augusta. You've got to be able to hit your ball. You've got to be able to control the spin. You've got to be able to control the trajectory. You've got to have distance control in your putting. When those greens get fast, man, it is much more difficult to control the distance because of the slopes. I think his putting, you can't depend on making 30 footers every round and chipping in every round. I mean, these guys are great players. Jordan Spieth is one of the top. I mean, I hate to put a percentage, 75%. Hey, let's see it. Let's see how long it takes him to win. It's 3.5 years, no wins. Xander Schauffele, they talk about him being in a slump. He can't win. I mean, the guy's got, a dozen or so second place finishes, which, I mean, for the pocketbook, for the bank account, it's great. But I think both of those guys want to be great players. It's not about the money for either one of those two guys. And I think Jordan Spieth is going to continue to work hard. I'm not sure if he's 75% or if he's 60 or 50% back. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll see here pretty soon at the wannabe major. The Players' Championship is coming up pretty soon. And we'll see what where his game actually is.
Yeah, this is Jordan Spieth's probably best opportunity to win. I mean, he's got a good history here. He won at Pebble Beach in 2017. Last year, he topped 10 here, and everyone thought he was back, and then he fell off the face of the earth again. And then this field is absolutely horrible. I mean, Patrick Cantlay is the highest-ranked player in the field, and there's like three or four players in the top 50 of the world golf rankings. Jordan Spieth was one of the favorites to win this event. He was like the sixth favorite. And when's the last time Jordan Spieth has been that high entering a golf tournament? So we'll see what happens, but you need to hold your horses a little bit until Jordan Spieth faces the big-time competition on the PGA Tour.
That's true, but it does go in waves, though, too, Tim, because when a guy's on a wave of playing good, on a good playing, like Jordan Spieth last week, didn't finish like he wanted to, but that takes a lot of positives. He knows that course. We've got, like you said, I mean, the field is, I hate to say the field is weak, but in the top 11 players.
It's terrible.
And you look at 11th place and under. You've got 21 guys at 11th place and under. You got Daniel Berger up there. You don't have any, these younger guys, the guys that haven't won a lot, man, there is a lot of pressure to win, especially coming in 16, 17, and 18 at Pebble Beach. The weather is going to be a factor. Russell Knox is up there. He's tied for sixth.
There's no top 10 players in the world playing this.
No, game. No.
Yeah.
Well, you got to say, hey, you know what, Jordan Spieth, if he can just hold it together, he can make some putts, yeah, he could be there.
Yeah, Cantlay's going off right now on PGA Tour events. So hopefully, I mean, what he did at the American Express final round and what he's continuing to do here at AT&T Pebble Beach, Cantlay's going off. So it will be a challenge for Spieth to overcome what he's doing right now on golf courses. All right, Steve, thanks for joining. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for listening. Follow all of us on Twitter at Hank Haney, at Great Predictor 1 for Steve Johnson. He's rolling right now in his NFL predictions. He's 2-0, his last two predictions. Tampa Bay Buccaneers over Packers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Chiefs. I said the Chiefs would beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by double digits. I was right in the double digit category. I was just wrong on the team. Everybody, stay safe, stay healthy. Leave the flag stick in, make putts, hit bombs. We'll talk to you next week. The Great Predictor and Minnesota Tim Perashka. We out, Grandma. I'm coming.
And I'm going to count us out. 3, 2, 1. We're out. Well, you've got a nice goatee going. You've got a lot of hair.
It's wash.
A lot of hair right under your chin.
This is like USGA rough right here.
Yeah, and it's US Open rough. And then you've got a little goatee going down, a little mustache with the handles going down to the goatee.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good. And then on the side, you got waist area there. You got no you got no game there. You got zero game.
Yeah, I got some waist area.
Yeah, it's not good.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.